We will begin reading John chapter 14 and starting in verse number 1. It says this, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." It's Jesus speaking. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." And Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How could we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known the Father also. And from now on you know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us." And Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip?" We will stop there. There's many lessons in this passage. We will just talk about a few of them. But there is so much that could be gleaned from this. And we see right from the beginning, or actually a couple of verses in, where Jesus is talking about going to a place. He says, "I'm going to prepare a place." In the next verse, he's saying, "Where I go, you know." And then Thomas finally in verse 5 says, "Well, we don't know where you're going." It seems that Jesus is always going somewhere. And it's interesting because he's telling, "I'm going to go somewhere." And it implies that he's always moving. He's always moving forward. Jesus is going somewhere. And very often in the Bible, he tells his disciples, "Go to where I'm going. You go ahead to where I'm going." It very rarely says, "Go where I've been." It's always go forward with Jesus. It's always a movement ahead. It's rarely a movement backwards, and it's almost never a movement or a stationary walk. It's always go. Go somewhere. Go where he's going. It is our job to see where Jesus is going and go with him. And he tells him, "I'm going somewhere." And Thomas is like us. Many times we're like, "We don't know where you're going. Jesus, where are you going? You think we know? We don't really know." But part of the Christian walk is to have our eyes so focused on Jesus that we know where he's going. We know where he's been. We've seen what he's done in the past. But Jesus says, "Go where I'm going." And Thomas says, "I don't know where you're going, Lord. Where are you going?" Many times he tells his disciples, "Go, prepare the way." They're kind of like the advance team. And they go to the city where he's going and they make preparations for where he's going to come. Jesus is headed there, but he's not there yet. And many times this is our walk. Because a lot of times God tells people, just go. And he doesn't really give them a lot of additional instruction. He just says, go. And we're the kind of people, we like all the additional instruction. We don't like surprises. Me neither. I'm not a guy who likes surprises, especially when we're supposed to have a plan. I like knowing. But so often throughout the scripture, it's go. And we want to ask all the questions. Well, what are we going to do? How are we going to go? What's going to happen when we get there? Are you going to move? What's the plan, huh? And God just says, go. Remember, he just tells Abraham, go to a land that I'm going to show you. Well, why don't you show me now, seeing that you already know, God? I'd rather you tell me now. And
He doesn't seem to answer that question very often. Just go. And here he tells his disciples, I'm going someplace. And his disciples are kind of confused by it. We don't know where you're going. But if we're to be followers of Jesus, that means we're moving all the time. We're moving. Follower implies movement. Follower doesn't imply that we're standing still. We're a follower of Christ. And so that means we should be moving. In fact, they call many of the moves, they call them moves. They call them movements. That's because there's motion, there's change, there's something happening. Remember, the Bible tells us these things all the time. Those who are led by the Spirit of God, not those who are led by the path, not those who are led by what has been, not those that are led by the formulas that we've come to know and love. This is those who are led by the Spirit. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Every word that continues to come out of the mouth of God is how we are led by. Not every word that happened or he said long ago to different people. Every word that proceeds and continues to proceed out of the mouth of God is how we are led by the Spirit. That makes people uncomfortable. Makes me uncomfortable too. I'd rather know what the word is. I'd rather have an idea of where we're going. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. But sometimes we're like Philip. We don't know where you're going. And sometimes it's just the sad reality that sometimes we lose our way. It doesn't mean that we're not saved. It's just that it means that we've lost our way. We've gotten our eyes off Jesus for a second, and we lost our way. We can lose our direction. And this happens so many different ways. Maybe it's a relationship. You get involved in a relationship, and it seems harmless, and then all of a sudden, 6 months down the line, 3 months down the line, you realize, I've lost my way. I've lost where Jesus is in this. I thought it was a good idea, but now my way is lost. We don't know the way. Just like Philip says, I don't know the way. We make a purchase, and we think it's going to enrich our lives, and all of a sudden, it pulls us away from Jesus. It pulls us away from God. We think it was a good idea. And maybe at the time, it was a good idea, but then down the road, it pulls us away. And we lose our way. Just like Philip says, we don't know the way. What is the way? Where is the way? We would follow. And we don't mean to let it happen, but sometimes it just happens. We lose our way. And this is a very common thing in our Christian walk, especially if we've been walking with the Lord many, many, many times, because then Jesus answers this brilliant answer, and everybody knows this verse. He says, I am the way. I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life, I'm the way. And notice he doesn't say, I am a way. He says, I am the way. There's no other way. I am the way, the only way. He doesn't say, I'm one of many ways. There are many paths and you could choose whatever you like. It's okay, go ahead. I'm one of those ways. See if you could find me. No, he says, I'm the way. That's it. There's a finality to that. There's an exclusiveness to that. He is the way. It's not one that we can choose. But, you know, the world gives us many side roads. He says, I'm the way. But the world shows us there's many different roads. There's many different side roads. You could take this way and maybe you'll get there, and it looks real good sometimes. But Jesus says there's one way. There's one way and only one way. That's a song that we sing, or we used to sing in Sunday school. One way and only one, and you could finish the rest at home. But Jesus says, I'm the way. It has to be me. It has to be focused on me. It has to be centered on him. And the world will show us that there's lots of different paths to take. And there are many paths to take, and they might all look good, or they might, some of them might look good at the start, but once you start traveling on them, then you look back and you see, well, I've kind of lost where Jesus is in this. You might have had good intentions when you started down the way, started down the path, but then all of a sudden, you look around, and it's like, I'm not sure where Jesus is. And he says, I'm the way. If you can't see Jesus from where you're at, you might be on the wrong path. It's all these different roads. And many, many roads are false roads. They're false roads. We think that they might lead to truth, but they don't necessarily lead to truth. There's one way. And there are many decisions that we make that can lead us down paths that are not the way, the truth, and the life. There is just one way. And we don't want to be off on the shoulder, and we certainly don't want to be doing the off-road stuff. There is one way. There is one way with Jesus. And the problem is, many times we major on the minor things in life. We put a lot of emphasis on things that are minor. We put a lot of energy and a lot of thought and a lot of time and a lot of our effort into things that really, in the end, don't matter. We could put a lot of time into our possessions. We could put a lot of time into our house, just making it so. I want this and I want that and I want to change this. Or other types of possessions. We could spend a lot of time with all of the things that we get. Right? Have you been there where you think, well, this project might take a day or two, and then 6 months later you're still fussing around with it? Because we major on the minor things. And sometimes when we get involved in all of that, if we look back, we would see, I don't know where Jesus is in all of this. But I'm spending immense amounts of my time all over the place. And with these things, I'm spending all kinds of time. But where's Jesus in all of this? Because he is the way. And it could be. Could be all kinds of other things. Maybe it is just an overemphasis on our work. It could be all kinds of things. I work with people who routinely just are like slaves to the job. I mean, they work constantly. And then when they go home, they work some more. And before they come into work, they work some more. We have to work. The Bible tells us, work 6 days. This is part of the commandment. This is one of the Ten Commandments. I know we say that the Bible says that we should rest on the Sabbath day, but if you read the rest of the commandment, it says work 6 days. So yes, the Sabbath day is for the rest, but those other 6 days, so yes, work is important. And the Bible tells us that we should be working, but it should be Jesus number one, because he is the way. Everything else should be secondary. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. There is none other than him. And it could be just an overemphasis on the things
that are not that important in life. You like to watch TV, you like to play sports, you like to do all these other things. The things that are important, God tells us, Jesus tells us, he makes it so simple. He says, love God, love people. These are my two greatest commandments. Follow those and you're going to be pretty good. He even says, if you fulfill the royal law according to Scripture, to love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. Oh, these are the main two things. If we get those two things, most of the other stuff is going to fall into place. So he says, here's your compass. Love God, love people. All of the other things should be secondary because he is the way. It's a very easy test of your life. It's a very easy test of how you spend your time, how you spend your money, how you spend your resources. He's the way. Plain and simple. We might put all our efforts and so much of our time into minor things, while the major things of people around us, relationships with God are falling apart. There's unhappiness all around, but yet we have nice crown molding. Right? He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. Number one, people, God. People are two. People is two. God is one. He makes it very, very simple. And then in verse number 9, he says this, and this is kind of a wake-up call to all of us. Where Jesus says to Philip, he says, have I been with you for so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He calls him by name, too. Have I been with you for so long, and yet you have not known me? This is a person that is walking day by day with Jesus. He's walking day by day with Jesus. He's with him, presumably, hours every day, listening to what he says, doing the things that he's following Jesus. He's putting his life on hold and following Jesus. But yet Jesus says this statement, which is just, it just blows my mind, where he says, Have you been with me for so long, but you don't know who I am? He's not talking to somebody who doesn't, in our vernacular, he doesn't come to church. He's talking to somebody who would be coming to church. He's talking to somebody who's probably going to be a leader in the church. He's talking to somebody who's dedicated his life to following Jesus, and yet he makes the statement, you don't know me, Philip? This means that we could be coming to church. We could be doing everything that's right. We could be following. We could be reading the Bible. We could be even doing it for hours a day. But it's possible we could be doing all of that and not know Jesus. We could not have the relationship. We could not understand his ways. We might not have a relationship with him. That's a scary thought. He says, don't you, you might not even know me, Philip. You could be, and they might have walked with him for years at this point. Day in, day out. Many of us could say the same thing. We've been walking with Jesus for years. We've been walking with Jesus for decades. And then we examine ourselves, is Jesus the way in our lives? Or have we taken one of these side roads and we're so far down the side road, not sure where Jesus is in it? And to that he says, I am the way. And have you been with me for so long? And yet you don't know me, Philip. Jesus knows him. He knows exactly who he is. The good news is that wherever you are, God knows how, God has a path to get back in the way. It doesn't matter how far you've strayed. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter what you've been doing. It doesn't matter all of the history. There is a way to get back into the way immediately. We heard that in testimony form today. A whole life of being off the way and then a decision which radically changes a life, and all of a sudden, all of that path is shortcut right into the way. It's a beautiful thing, and God knows how to do it. He knows how to do it. I've seen it many times, that it's a beautiful thing. We're never too far off the way to get back into the place that Jesus wants us to be. I want you to turn to Matthew 7. We're going to read just a couple of verses from here. Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 13. Matthew 7 verse 13 and 14 is what we will read. It says this, Jesus speaking, he says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few that find it." He seems to be speaking to people who are listening. He seems to be even speaking to his disciples. I know this could be applied to those without salvation. It could also be applied to those who are with salvation. Because there are many people who are living, but they don't have life. There are many people who are alive, but they don't have life. Even in the church, there are many people who are living, but don't have life. Because life is found in Jesus. Life is found in the way. There are many people who are living, but have not found the life that God intends for them. Because it says, difficult is the way, narrow is the path. It's easy to choose all those other roads. And even as Philip didn't know who Jesus was at that moment, we could be this. This goes along with that statement. Because narrow is the way, difficult is the way. Another verse says, the kingdom of God, you must press into it. If we're not pressing into it, more than likely we haven't gained it. If it hasn't been difficult to get, it's not salvation that's difficult. Salvation is free. Salvation is a gift. Thank God for that. But he's saying, life, that's difficult. That requires some effort. That requires us to do something. That requires us to work at it, to find the life of God, because the world will put in your path whatever is easiest. The path of least resistance is the one we often take. That's the one most people like. The path of least resistance. If it's the easy way, I'm on it. But the Bible says that the way to life is narrow. The Bible says the way to life is difficult. If it's all easy, we might have to examine the path. I'm not looking to make life harder. Life is hard. Life has many things that go wrong. And many times we want what's easy. And we want what will get our mind off. We just have to, I just have to turn off my mind. I can't think about things anymore. I've had a rough day. And Jesus tells us, narrow is the way. Difficult is the way that leads to life. His life. Remember he says in John 10:10, he says, I've come to give life and life abundantly. Do we have the abundant life? Are we living the abundant life? Jesus says, I came to give it.
Is your life filled with abundance? Is your life filled with God at the center of it? It doesn't mean that everything is great. It doesn't mean that you got all the things that you want. Because Jesus often wants to know, is it Him that you want above all the other things? It is, He is the abundant life. Remember, He is the way. He's the way. Jesus wants to know if He's number one, if He is the way. Because sometimes, like Solomon, we could wake up after having everything in the world, literally everything in the world at that time Solomon could have had. And at that point he says, I have everything, but I see it all means nothing. And we can chase, and God will allow us to chase all these things for many, many years. And then one day wake up and then see, I was down a false road. I was down a road that's not the way. He let Solomon run down that course as well. We want to be on the way. And this is the whole point. It's back in John 14, verse 3, and he says, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. It's a beautiful statement of Jesus. He's saying his desire is to be with you. His desire is to be with you. He said, I'm going to go and prepare a place, but I'm waiting to come back for you. I'm waiting so that you could be with me. I want you to be with me where I am. We want Jesus to be where we're at. Jesus, I'm on this way. How about you come along? And Jesus says, no, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I want you to be where I am. And many times we want it the other way around. Lord, I'm going to do this. Bless it. Lord, I'm going to go down this road, and I'm going to make this decision, and then we pray for God's blessing. And many times it could happen, and many times it doesn't. Because we might have lost the way. But the good news is Jesus says, I want you where I'm at. I want to be with you. I want you to be where I am. And this is our Savior's cry. This is our Savior's cry all the way from Genesis after the fall of man, all the way to the end of the book in Revelation, where he says, I'm going to have a wedding. I'm going to have a wedding because I want you where I am. I want you with me. He hatched a plan almost immediately after the sin of Adam and Eve to gain us back because he wants us with him. Because that's what's important to our Savior. Wherever you are at, this is what we need to remember. That being with Him is absolutely the desire of God's heart. Where I am, I want you to be as well. Whatever you're doing, I want you to be with me. Wherever I am, you follow me. Wherever I am, be with me. This is the cry of his heart. This is the cry of our Savior. This is what drove him to the cross so that he could open the way. No more veil. No more veil. It was torn so that we could be with him. This is our Savior. This is who he is. If he will go to such extremes so that we could be with him, won't he bring us through all the issues, all the problems, all the situations that we have in life? The answer is, he will be with us through all of them. They might not come out the way we want, but he will be with us if we stay with him on the way, the truth, and the life. May God be glorified. Amen.